Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press for today, January the 9th, 2023. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Good to have you with us. It's our Monday show. We'll look back a little bit on what happened on Sunday on the PGA Tour. There was quite a bit to talk about there. And then we'll also look forward to the first clicks, opening odds, all that good stuff for this week's event, the Sony Open Hawaii. Just a heads up before we get into Sony Open stuff and Kapalua that there is another event this week. It is on the DP World Tour. You can bet on it. It is the Hero Cup. It's a tournament with 10 players on two teams. So 10 players on each team. There are two teams. There's a Continental Europe team captain by Francesco Molinari. And then you got a playing captain in Tommy Fleetwood for the GB&I side, Great Britain and Ireland side. GB&I is a minus 125 favorite. It's plus 125 for the Continental Europe guys. They just had a change in their roster. Rasmus Højgaard was replaced by his twin brother, Nikolai Højgaard. If they didn't tell you that, I don't think you would actually know the difference. And it doesn't seem to have an impact on the overall market for that, but there is also a tie possible, apparently. They didn't set it up that way. I don't know all the details on the format, but there is a tie possible. I think that's 12-1 to set on a tie. Okay, now let's get into what happened on Sunday and some things we can take away from the Century Tournament of Champions, because I think it's important to look back at least a little bit for a couple of seconds and think about what happened and then maybe learn some things moving forward that make us better bettors on this sport. Colin Morikawa came to this final round with a 6-shot lead, and it seemed like he was just going to cruise, and then he didn't. And it wasn't necessarily Morikawa's fault immediately, because he did what a guy with a big lead is supposed to do, nurse it. And he played very well, really, for the first 7-8-ish holes for a guy that had a huge lead. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing in that situation. He came out, made 3 birdies in the first 6 holes. You're supposed to take advantage of Kapalua at every turn, but especially early. 3 birdies in 6 holes, good position. He was up 9 shots at one point on Jon Rahm, who, as you know, obviously at this point wound up winning the golf tournament. But what happened was Rahm decided to play like a guy who didn't have anything to lose, because he didn't. He played really well in the first 6 holes. He was 3 under through the first 6, just like Morikawa. Birdies 9, goes out in 32, 4 under par. And that's fine. That's not really making up a ton of ground. But then he got to the part of the golf course, on the Plantation course, where you can make up a lot of ground really quickly. 12, 13, 14, 15. He birdies 12 through 14. He gets to 15, hits a monster drive, leaves 155 yards in, hits a 9-iron, uses the slope beautifully, makes the eagle putt from, 12 feet? Yeah, 11 and a half feet. And now all of a sudden, he is the leader of the golf tournament, because Morikawa starts to realize, wait a second, Rahm's catching up to me. Now I have to play differently. I have to have a different game plan. And also, he wasn't putting as well. He was an incredible putter for the first 3 rounds, way above his typical standard. And he had only done to this standard 3 times in his PGA Tour career, never on a tropical season grass. You had to figure that a regression was coming, but you also had to figure his lead was too big to be caught. The regression happened in a 3-hole stretch where Morikawa hit a bad bunker shot, fairway bunker shot, left him over the green, 114, couldn't get up and down on a short par 4. That just gets in your head because that's a birdie hole, at worst a par hole. Then on 15, hits a 2nd shot to the short side, stubs a chip, stubs the pitch shot, has to hit it again, doesn't make birdie, and then by then it's in your head, okay, now what do we do? On 16, hits another terrible wedge shot on a short par 4, makes bogey, and on all of a sudden, when you had 10, 11, 12-foot pressure putts for pars, you revert back to who you are. You are who you are. And that, unfortunately, for Morikawa, it means being a bad putter. And he reverted to that for 3 holes. the tournament is over. He knew it at that point, played 17 and 18, totally normal because he had snapped out of it and had already lost the golf tournament, but wound up finishing in second place. So what do we learn? One, you have to know when momentum starts, and that's hard to predict. But at one point in the round, Morikawa was minus 20,000 to win the tournament, and John Rahm was 80-1. No reasonable person, I think, would have pulled out the ticket, would have taken the ticket 80-1. But I took him at 8-1. When he hit his tee shot on 15, I thought, okay, uh-oh, something can happen here. Took him at 8-1, got him on a small kind of hedge bet, because I already had Morikawa in hand, and that wound up working out. And I did that for a couple different reasons. One, I thought the momentum was shifting. Two, when pressure applies, you kind of become who you are in golf. And you just kind of have to know that about golfers. You become who you are, typically. And that meant bad putting for Morikawa. Combined with a little bit of bad luck, unfortunate rolls, led to the outcome that we got. But also, you could have wound up in a situation where I could have had Rahm and Morikawa cashed out one or the other, depending on who I thought, and come out ahead on one of the two bets and still had the winner. That does not typically happen. It does not usually work out that way. But this was a weird situation where it seemed Morikawa, there's no way Morikawa could have given this up, and then he did. So it was possible. So that's one thing to keep in mind. But you have to know there are three golf tournaments in a golf tournament. The first 54, the first 9 on Sunday, and the final 9 plus playoffs on Sunday. You need to know that. They're different golf tournaments. Being great in the first 54 really does, I mean, it just sets you up for playing the second and third tournaments. Rahm played the first tournament pretty well, 64, 71, 67, then 32 and 31. I mean, that is damn good golf. He is 60 under par on this golf course in his last 8 rounds, and you have to consider Rahm the guy to be a favorite in 2024. If he is anything worse than 6-1 next year when we get back here, fire on him right away, because that's what's worth it for this week. Okay, let's get into the Century Tournament of Champions. Moving on to the first full field event of 2023 on the PGA Tour. Very, very excited about this. I love Wailea Country Club. It's a Seth Rayner. For an architecture geek, that's great. It's a tighter golf course, allows a lot of different players in. What I have noticed so far in the Monday market is that there is wide disparity in some particular players. And I want to point some of them out to you because I think it's worth looking at them because they're players I think are worth potentially betting here. We're going to start with DraftKings. I want to point out a couple of... We'll start with top of the table, then we'll point out some of the disparities if you hit on them quickly. Tom Kim is 12-1, leader in the market, universally true. Sun JM, second best, 14-1, almost universally true. Jordan Spieth's number is kind of... It's not set in the market. I've seen it at 14. I've seen it at 16. I don't have the answer there one way or the other. I just don't... I'm not going to bet him anyway, but 14, 16, I've not seen 18. Hideki Matsuyama is 18 at DK. I have seen him at 16 and 18. Brian Harman has moved quickly. People are betting on him, I think. He's 16 at DraftKings. I saw him 20 on an offshore book. I saw him at a similar price at PointsBet. Make sure to shop around for that number. Hideki, 18. 16, 18, I think. Corey Connors, 25. I've seen Corey Connors at 20, 22, and 25. So depending on where you can find him, you can get a decent price. Russell Henley, past champion here, won at Mayakoba, plus 22. I've seen him a couple different prices. Tom Hoagie, I've seen Tommy Tables at plus 30. I've seen him at plus 28. I've not seen him much worse than that. Taylor Montgomery, plus 28, seems to be kind of a market position a lot of people have. Maverick McNealy has kind of been priced differently. He's been one of those, if you like McNealy... And I don't think you necessarily should, but I've seen him at plus 30 and 35. So, shop around. Keegan Bradley's plus 35 at DK. I've seen him in a couple of different numbers, 30, 35, and 40. Keith Mitchell, same thing, 30, 35, 40, depending on where you go. If you want to look at a Mitchell or a Bradley, even a Hoagie, I think PointsBet is your place to go this week. They have good numbers on him. If you slammed Adam Svensson at 100-1 on PointsBet like I did. I didn't put a ton of money on him, but you're getting a good number on him. His number is fluctuating. He is 55 at FanDuel when I looked this morning. He is 75 right now in DK. He is 100 on PointsBet. If you like that kind of play, and I think it's a reasonable play at 100-1, I think I like that, I would go snatch it up really quickly. And that's just, personal preference there. It wasn't a big bet. I mean, it's $10, but if it pays, it's gonna pay, you know. So that's one I do like. Now, let's think about some guys we should like this week right away. I think Tom Kim is worth a look at 12-1. I think it's a little too short, but he likes golf courses like this. He likes ones that are kind of tight off the tee. He seems to like ones that don't have huge putting surfaces, but are big enough. Not huge landing areas. Think about Vegas. Think about Sedgefield. They're large enough, but they're not huge. And those playing corridors work for somebody who strikes the ball really well. I think you have to look at Henley. I would like him a little longer than that. I like him 25, a little bit more. But I do like him this week. He didn't play that great at Kapalua. I don't need that. We need to look at the trends and the history of this tournament. 17 of the last 24 winners of this tournament played the week prior. That's not as strong of a trend as it once was, but 17 of 24 is 17 of 24. That's good enough for me. 5 of the last 8 winners also won in the fall, in the year prior. So we don't have a whole lot of those guys in this field. We've got Tom Kim as one of those guys. We've got Russell Henley as one of those guys. They tend to stand out. Keegan Bradley is one of those guys, tends to stand out. So think about those guys a little bit. Young guys tend not win this tournament. I love Taylor Montgomery. I think he's going to win this year. But guys in their 20s tend to not win this tournament. So that would rule out someone like Tom Kim. But if you want to make an exception, okay. But you would start to rule out Montgomery, McNealy, guys I kind of like, Cage Lee, guys I like this week. So I don't love Cage Lee, by the way. I'm just saying guys in their 20s. And then I think you have to like Corey Connors. He has a good track record at this tournament. Played last week. Obviously didn't win the fall. Didn't do that. But good track record. Played last week. He's hitting most of the criteria that you could like for a first click bet. And then you kind of start to get down a little bit further down the board. Again, I would very much encourage you to go find what the numbers are at your book of choice and then compare them. Because what you're going to see is a pretty, and especially early in the year, you're going to see some pretty disparate prices in the marketplace between books. And we just talked about it as it relates to Adam Svensson specifically. But if you want to look at golf for this week on PointsBet, here's some variance in numbers. Spieth's 14, now pretty much across the market. Sungjae is still 14, Hideki 18. They've normalized on Henley, but you're getting Harman at an extra $6 on PointsBet. He's 22 there still. I get it. Hoagie's 27, so that's dropped down. Corey Connors is 28, getting an extra $3 there. Extra $2 on Montgomery. Cage Lee, you're getting 40. Same with Bradley, which makes sense as a bet. I like the play. McNealy, 40, if you like that. I'm not saying to play that, but. And then you kind of roll down a little bit. Kurt Kitayama, I think, could be a really interesting wager this week. This is a kind of golf course he could like. He finished runner-up in his last start at the CJ Cup. However, he is very erratic. So he tends to either be an all-or-nothing guy. He's either in the top three, he's on the medal stand in his last 18 months worth of play, or could very easily miss the cut by two. But if you get him, you're going to get him good. You're not going to get him better than this at 60-1, I don't think. If you find that an interesting number this week. Denny McCarthy, I love, but does not play this tournament well, seemingly, because he's not a good driver of the golf ball. You have to be able to put the ball in play throughout the course of the week, or otherwise you're just in trouble. Adam Svensson, if you didn't already get him at 100-1, he's now 80-1. So importance of early moves, importance of just getting out there and trying to find mistakes or what you think are mistakes in the market. Find $3. I mean, you don't have to go search for $6. Go find $3. Go find PointsBet. Go find DK. Go find FanDuel. The other one I would recommend if you're in a state that has it, Bet Rivers does a really good job with golf. And sometimes they're higher up. Prices stink, but you get some good prices further down the board. And I think that's a look worth making each and every week if you have them available to you. But at least this week, PointsBet is giving you some juicy numbers to work with, and that might be of interest to you. If you want to look at a couple of horse for course plays or a couple past results guys, necessarily playing great right now, but Chris Kirk and Brendan Steele are 80-1. Brendan Steele is one of those guys who just plays the same five courses really well and then tries to make out the rest of the year. 80-1 could be of interest to me at that figure. I would love to tell you Ryan Palmer could be interesting to me. He shows up out of nowhere sometimes. He's 125-1. He's played this golf course well historically. Just trying to think of a couple of deep shots that could be worth your time. I have not run my model yet, so I'm not necessarily buying into any of these, but I did take Svensson, by the way. But then you start to get really long really quickly, and I mean, we just have not seen in recent memory these kinds of deep shots winning. So I think the deepest I'd be willing to go is 150, and that's probably where I'm willing to stop this week if I find something that catches in the model. But just wanted to underscore and emphasize how important it is to be able to shop around and go find the odds that you want, because that'll give you the best chance to get the most money out of each and every week. Again, you have to consider live markets too. Make sure to do that. I did this on Friday. Obviously, it didn't work out with Colin Morikawa, but I didn't have him in hand to start the week. And I saw the way he was playing midway through the Friday round and figured, okay, he could blow this thing out. Took him at a plus 150 or 155 number on FanDuel. Again, I probably could have shopped around, but it was more like a, hey, I had some bets on FanDuel. I'm going to cash out the duds, and I'm going to put them in on Morikawa just to see if I can get most of that money back. And obviously, it didn't work out that way, but that would have been a smart play. So, you have to try to learn how to read tournaments and know golf courses and know the fluctuation that could happen. But you also have to kind of be aware of, if a player is playing out of their mind based on a certain statistic, in this case it was Morikawa putting, you have to know that regression is possible, but you don't know when it will happen. You don't know. Morikawa could have played great yesterday, putted it well, and won the tournament by 10. That could have happened. That could have been an outcome. And if Rahm didn't barrage him in the middle of the back nine, I'm pretty sure that he would have won going away, and he wouldn't have made those three bogeys in a row. He might have been the next golfer to win on the PGA Tour playing 72 holes without a drop shot. That could have happened. But I think because you had Morikawa playing a certain way over the course of the first 3.5 rounds and not really getting any competition, at least, you know, once you got into that second tournament and then the start of the third tournament, really nothing's, there's no reason to believe that what he was doing was not going to work. So he kept playing the way he was playing. And then he obviously got caught up in the pressure of Rahm coming to chase him with nothing to lose because he was so far behind. The only thing that Rahm was probably expecting was to make more money, which obviously he did. He wound up improving from the $1.5 million he was probably aiming for second place to $2.7 million for winning the tournament. Total bonus situation, but for Morikawa, he has a whole lot more perception-wise to lose once he starts to get caught, and has to realize, hey, the tournament has changed. It's really hard to change that on a dime when you're not the person instigating the change in the tournament. So I think that's why that happened. If they were kind of closer together, if it was the lead was 2 or 3 and they were neck and neck all day, I think Morikawa probably gets the job done. But the shock of going from a huge lead, feeling like it's in the bag, to, oh crap, it's not in the bag, and things are going wrong, that just tends to happen really quickly. So, got to know when to read a golf tournament. This opportunity does not present itself all that often. Guys don't typically lose 6-shot leads. It happens, but they don't typically do that. They typically don't lose 9-shot leads over a guy just a few holes into the round. Those things don't tend to happen, but it did. So when they do, you have to be there on Sunday ready to pounce. And you have to do it with some degree of conviction. You can't just throw a couple dollars on a guy and hope that, you know, something weird happens. I mean, you can do that, but it's not a good strategy. But if you feel like there's a turning point coming, and the turning point for me was the monster drive on 15, then, all right, take your conviction, put some money on it. If it doesn't work out, 2 holes later, you might be able to cash out and get half the bet back or something. It won't kill you, but if it works out, as it did for me, it saved the week, you know. Also, by the way, wanted to point out the first round leader bet did work. We did get Rahm in as the first round co-leader, sliced into thirds, obviously, because of the dead heat rule. We had three players tied for the lead at the end of day one. We're going to run that again this week. We'll talk about that on the Tuesday or Wednesday show. I'm still not sure where to integrate that part into all of this, but probably look to do it Tuesday. We'll just call Tuesday kind of the model day for both of those things. And then Wednesday, it'll be final cards and stuff. But you know my first clicks now. You know where we're at. You know what we learned from last week. Hopefully, you can find some good values out there still in the marketplace when you listen to this. Make sure to shop around. Look carefully and be prepared to move quickly when you get the kind of these price differences, especially in those bigger numbers that you might think might just be off in the marketplace. All right, it's going to do it for us today on the press. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thank you for listening, checking us out. Give us a 5-star review if you check us out on one of the podcast services of your choice that allows us to do that. We will talk to you tomorrow on the press.